So welcome to our Saturday Bhagavad Gita class. Since we are on chapter 4, we will begin by chanting all the verses of chapter 4, Krishna. We are still on text 13 of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, where Lord Krishna is discussing the very important idea of the Varnashrama system. Specifically, he is talking in this verse about the Varna system, the four Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. In the past three Saturdays, we have been discussing this subject at some length. And now, we will chant the verse again and then today discuss the second half of this verse and the next verse. So kindly repeat after me. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidya kartaram avyayam Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidya kartaram avyayam Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidya kartaram avyayam Kindly chant. Anyone would like to chant? Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidya kartaram avyayam Anyone else? Varnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidya kartaram avyayam Mataji, is anyone would like to try? Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidya kartaram avyayam chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidya kartaram avyayam According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of the system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. The reason for discussing the Varnashram system, especially the Varna system, at such length is because we find this idea everywhere in the Vedic literature, in the Puranas, Upanishads, everywhere. Because this social classification is all important. because it is meant for uplifting the human society to a higher spiritual platform. And these divisions, as we have seen, are the natural divisions that exist in this world based upon how the three modes of material nature, Sattvagun, Rajagun and Tamagun, are influencing various people in society. And therefore, this is not a system that belongs to a particular religious faith. It is a system of natural classification of labor that is existing in all of human society, in the whole creation. Having described the nature of this system and how it is dependent upon guna and karma, Lord Krishna is saying in the other part, Tasya kartaram apimam vidhya kartaram avyayam. Although tasya kartaram, I am the karta, I am the doer, I am the creator of this system, vidhi akartaram avyayam, still I am the non-doer, I am not the creator. Even though I am the creator, I am not the creator. Now this may sound a little puzzling. Two Saturdays ago we discussed one aspect of this, that Lord Krishna, when he appears in this material world, is always beyond the three modes of material nature. Therefore he is not influenced by any of the varnas, neither is he obliged to act according to any of these varnas. He simply comes here and performs his pastimes. He simply acts to set an example or to give pleasure to his devotees. So here we will discuss today at length why Lord Krishna says that even though he is the creator of the Varnashram system, yet he is not the creator. Even though he is the doer, because of whom everything is going and the Varnashram system is moving, yet he is the non-doer. What are the reasons for this? First and foremost, Krishna, being totally transcendental, has nothing to do with the system. He is not concerned with it. Secondly, he is free from the false ego of being the creator. Thirdly, it is not Lord Krishna directly who creates the Varnashram system or anything of this world. Material nature or Prakriti is his Shakti, and he is ever in control of his Shakti. In the material world, we all have our Shaktis, but we are not always in full control of our Shaktis. Our money, our physical strength, our intelligence, those people who are working for us, these could be considered our Shaktis, our power. But it is not that every time they will work for us. But Lord Krishna is totally in control of his Shaktis at all times. Mayadhyakshena prakriti hi suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. This material nature, my dear Arjuna, is working under my direction only. And by my will, these moving and non-moving beings are being sustained. So Prakriti is actually the creator of this Varnashram system. Prakriti or material nature is actually what is running this universe. So Lord Krishna is saying that I am not directly creating this Varna system, Ashram system, etc. It is my Prakriti that is creating. Prakriti is my agent. On my behalf, Prakriti is doing the needful. We have already seen Guna Karma Vibhagashah. Guna means the three Gunas, Sattva, Rajas, Tamas, which is the three divisions of Prakriti. So Prakriti is creating these divisions. Prakriti is making a division of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Lord Krishna is not directly involved. Therefore, Lord Krishna wishes to say here that even though he has created the system, even though he is a doer ultimately, still he is not bounded by the system. He is not concerned with this system. He is not affected by this system. He remains ever transcendental. Now, Lord Krishna had earlier, has in other parts of the Bhagavad Gita, declared that material nature is the doer. So that is not a new thing. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. He has said that ultimately those who are foolish, they think that they are the karta or the doer, not understanding that actually it is prakriti, the material nature, that is doing everything. Prakriti hai kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. It is this prakriti that is composed of the three gunas that is performing all activities. Karta aham iti manyate, but the jiva, soul, falsely, vimurha atma, coming under the spell of the illusion of maya or the prakriti, he starts thinking, I am the doer. But the jiva is not the doer. Now here Krishna is saying, I am also not the doer. So then does it mean that only prakriti is the doer? Actually, this is an important point. In a sense, if you see it, all three are karta, are the doers. The Atma, material nature, and Lord Krishna, who is the controller of both, the material nature and the Atma. All three are karta, in a sense. How is that? The jiva, it is because of him that the activities take place. If the jiva did not have desires to act in a certain way, material nature would not have responded and Krishna would not have permitted. So the beginning comes with the individual soul desiring to act in a certain way. And because of that desire, Lord Krishna sanctions. All right, yes. This action is sanctioned. He is sitting in the heart as the permitter, upadrashta. Upadrashta anumanta. Anumanta means he gives the anumati, he gives the permission. Upadrashta anumanta cha bharta bhokta maheshwaraha. Paramatmeti chapyukto param purushaha. He is the param purusha seated in the heart. And he is giving the sanction. So when the jiva desires to act in a certain way, Krishna sanctions that desire. Maybe sometimes he won't. Depending on the karma of the individual. Depending on how much he deserves. And then the material nature facilitates that. Material nature carries out Krishna's sanction. Just like sometimes you want to get some work done in any company or in any government office. You may go to some higher officer and get it sanctioned. He will put his signature or put his rubber stamp, or he will call the subordinate telephone. Ultimately, the work will be done by the subordinate, the clerk or somebody who will fill in, who will give you the stamp of the government, something. But the sanction of the superior is required. The superior sanctions on the request of the applicant, and the lower official, who is a subordinate or the energy or the shakti of that superior man, then he executes, he facilitates the desire of that applicant. So in the same way, the jiva wants to act. So Krishna considers to allow or not to allow. So then he sanctions, he says, okay, done. Then prakriti, which is like the shadow of Lord Krishna, then prakriti acts and facilitates the jiva's actions. So therefore, even though the jiva or the atma has no independent power to act, the atma is dependent totally upon the prakriti and upon the Lord, upon the Supreme Lord, for performing any action. But because the atma has the full freedom to desire whatever it may, and because based on these desires, the action is sanctioned and facilitated, therefore the Atma is responsible for its actions. Because sometimes people may argue, well, if Prakriti and Krishna are doing it, then why the jiva is responsible? Why the jiva is punished for some actions? Because it is based on the jiva's desire that Krishna sanctioned it. It is based on the jiva's desire and Krishna's sanction that Prakriti facilitated it. Therefore, the jiva is responsible. The jiva can never say that, well, I am simply desiring. But that desire is the main thing. In this way, we see the interaction between the three. The jiva, the Prakriti, and the material nature. Now, when we understand that all three are actually the doers, then what kind of relationship exists between them? How does the jiva in this world act, either in bondage or in freedom? Lord Krishna is explaining further in the other shlokas about his being a non-doer. Because this point is very important. If Lord Krishna is sanctioning, if he is the non-doer, then we should know more about his position as non-doer. Arjuna may ask Krishna that, well, you say you are the non-doer, but you have come here as a kshatriya. You are performing the karma of a kshatriya. So how do I understand that you are a karta, you are the non-doer? So in response to that, now Krishna will speak the next verse. So we will discuss text 14. So kindly repeat after me, text 14.
Anilimpanti Name karma phale spriha Iti mam yobhijanati Karma bhirna sabadhyate.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. There is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruitive reactions of work. Kindly repeat the translation. This is Lord Krishna speaking. There is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruitive reactions of work. So in this verse, Lord Krishna has mentioned three points. The first thing he declares here is Namam Karmani Limpanti. There is no work that affects me in this world. What does this mean? Limpanti means to affect. Affects Lord Krishna. It means that there is no action that can bind Lord Krishna. For the jiva, every action that he performs in this world is a cause of bondage for him. It binds him. Because the jiva acts in a certain way, and especially when he acts in ignorance, he performs sinful activities. He acts out of some rebellious independent desire to enjoy independently of Krishna. And according to his desires, he acts. When he acts, material nature, consisting of the three gunas, reacts. And then this action and reaction happens. And the reaction is takes place upon that particular individual. So he is bound to receive that reaction. Material nature will not spare. Whatever action we do within material nature. So material nature will react upon us and give us that reaction. So we are bound by action and reaction. But Krishna is not so bound. Krishna has nothing to do with this action-reaction bondage. because he is totally free. Some very simple examples can be given to understand this point. Even in our worldly society, there is a saying sometimes that a king can do no wrong. That means a king can never break the law, because there is no such thing for a king. The king can do anything he likes. The law is created by the king for the subjects to follow. The king is not himself bound by the laws. So here also we see in our material world history, there have been kings, and that is a system of monarchy, that although the king would generally follow dharma, but still he would create many laws and he was not bound by them. Similarly, Krishna is a supreme king of this entire creation. He has made this whole world. He has made the laws. He has enforced these laws upon us. But he himself is not bound by these laws. So therefore here we find Krishna saying, Namam karmani limpanti. I am totally free from the reactions of work. Whatever I do, for me there is no reaction materially speaking. I am ever free to act in any way I like, without any material reaction coming to me, without my actions causing bondage to me. Krishna's own Shakti can never bind him, but our Shaktis can sometimes bind us. It may happen sometimes that our money is a cause of our misfortune. Or sometimes in a factory, one's own employees may strike against us and create trouble for us. So they may come back on us and bind us. But for Krishna's Shakti, it never happens like that. He is ever free. The second point he mentions here is, Name karme phala spriha. I never desire the fruits of my action. What does he mean by this? He means that the jivas in this world desire like this, but I do not. What do the living entities in this world desire? Every living entity desires some sense gratification. That sense gratification depends on the particular species of life, depends upon the mentality of that particular individual. For example, even in the human species, we want to enjoy in a different way. Somebody thinks, if I go to Himalayas, I will enjoy. He likes that kind of enjoyment. Somebody wants to go to America, he thinks, I will enjoy there. Somebody wants to go to nightclubs, I will enjoy there. So different standards of enjoyment are there. Different ideas of happiness are there. And all are aspiring for these things. There are some who aspire for higher birth in the next life, in Swargaloka. And they perform various kinds of yajnas, sacrifices, karmakanda to get higher birth in the next life, where they can enjoy tremendous heavenly happiness. And after doing so, then they have to come back. But they do not consider. But they are so much attached to enjoying that heavenly happiness that they are bound in the cycle of karma and the reaction of that karma. But Lord Krishna has no such desire. Lord Krishna's activities are not governed by the material energy like the jivas are. We are all acting within the realm of Prakriti. But Lord Krishna does not act within the realm of Prakriti. He acts within the realm of his internal spiritual energy, Atma Mayaya. We saw some verses earlier. Lord Krishna has declared, Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim swamadishthaya sambhavami Atma Mayaya. Although I am unborn, although I am imperishable, still I appear in every yuga, in this material world, in my original spiritual form, under my spiritual energy, by Atma Maya, not this Mahamaya. Not I am always acting on the platform of my spiritual energy. So Lord Krishna is never attracted by this material energy. The living entities who are conditioned here in this world are forever being bewildered and attracted by the razzle-dazzle and the temptations that material nature has to offer. In every species of life, there are temptations and attractions that take the jiva away from Krishna. But Krishna himself is not at all attracted. He is being on the spiritual platform completely full in himself. He is Shad Aishwarya Purna. He is full of six opulences. He has no shortcomings. He has no desire left to fulfill. His happiness is complete and full. So therefore he has nothing to seek from the material energy. His happiness is only on the spiritual platform. He enjoys in the spiritual world exchanges of love between his devotees and himself. There are many stories in this regard to show how the Lord only likes to enjoy spiritual bliss and doesn't care for material happiness. When the Lord incarnated as Nara Narayana Rishi, there was an interesting episode that took place. You may have heard of Nara Narayana Rishi. He appeared in the form of sages. And which was his ashram, do you know? Where did Nara Narayana Rishi perform tapasya? Badrikashram. He was residing in Badrikashram and performing very severe austerities for many, many years. And when one performs austerities of this nature, one becomes very powerful. And it has seen historically that whenever great sages have performed such austerities for a long time, very severe austerities, the demigods, especially Indra, they get a little disturbed, anxious, because they fear that this sage, he may become so powerful that he may eventually become the king of heaven, and then I will have to vacate my position. I will be without a post. I will lose my ministership if he becomes very powerful. So often they try to disturb the penance of that particular sage. So many stories are there. You have heard of Vishwamitra Muni and many, many other such examples. So Indra called Kamadev, Cupid, the god of love, demigod of love in this world, so-called love. And he instructed him, please go and disturb Nara Narayana Rishi's meditation. He is there in Badrikashram. I fear that he is becoming very powerful and it is not auspicious for us demigods. We do not know what he will aspire for. What is the purpose of his tapasya? So Kamadev, having some idea of the potency of Nara Narayana Rishi, was little apprehensive. But Indra said, don't worry, I am coming right behind you. You go ahead. I am there with you. So, at that time, Kamadev went along with some of the dancers from the court of Indra, and he approached Nara Narayana Rishi, who was sitting in a secluded place in the very sublime Badrikashram area, and he shot his arrow, Pushpabana, his flower arrow of Kama. In this world, Kamadev is forever shooting his arrows. All the time. Just like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, if you read the descriptions, it is sometimes unbelievable how many arrows Bhishma, Arjuna, Karna, Drona were shooting. Thousands of arrows at one time. It was as if a rain of arrows they were unleashing. And when there were other people, other warriors were firing at them, they would protect themselves with a shield of the arrows. They would take out so fast the arrows from their quivers. And it is described that even the hand, one could not see the motion of the hand, how fast it was going to pick up the arrows and then shoot. So practiced were they. So expert. So Kamadev is very expert like this in shooting flower arrows of Kama Pushpabana. Every living entity at every moment is being pierced by these arrows of Kamadev. And everyone is suffering from the afflictions of Kama in this world. Everyone is injured, is a wounded warrior in this world. Everyone wants happiness. And when they are struck by Kamadev's arrow, they succumb. And they think, yes, this is what I have discovered. This is real happiness. So Kamadev let loose his arrow, which is all-conquering, unconquerable in this world, very powerful. From king to pauper, everyone has been made a fool in this world by Kamadev. And we have seen literally, it is for the sake of this karma that kingdoms have been lost, battles have been fought, people have performed such foolish activities, suicides have been done, poison has been taken. Of course, also many great poems have been written. Not great, but... So everything's whole world is moving simply on the basis of people being struck by Kamadev's arrows. Irresistible. But Naranarayan Rishi, they are the incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So Narayan Rishi was completely unaffected by this. And then he realized, being all-knowing, this Kamadev and Indra, this is their mischief. So he opened his eyes. And at that time, Kamadev, Indra became petrified with fear. You know that in the past, when they have tried to play mischief with great personalities, many times the demigods have repented for it. Like Kamadev, when he tried to do that with Lord Shiva, then Lord Shiva opened his third eye and burnt him to ashes. So, similarly, they become very, very afraid now, and trembling they came in front of Narayan Rishi. But Narayan Rishi, being very merciful, he smiled very gently at them and says, "My dear demigods, you are just bringing some ladies from your court to tempt me? Okay, since that is what you desire, here, look at my mystic power." And then, within a fraction of a moment, he created many, many, many most beautiful ladies, young ladies. So beautiful that Kamadev and Indra themselves were spellbound to see their beauty. They had never ever seen such beautiful ladies in their whole life. And then, Narayan Rishi smiled looking at them and said, "Now, my dear Indra, you may choose any of them for your court." So being very ashamed, but still unable to refuse, so Indra then chose Urvashi. And later on, that is how Urvashi came to the court of... Urvashi is a famous apsara. There are many famous apsaras in Indra's court. Rambha, Urvashi, Punjakastali. And they are all mentioned in different histories in Bhagavata, Ramayana, Mahabharata. They all have parts to play. You know the story of Menaka. You know the story of how Ravan was cursed by Punjikasthali and Rambha. That is how he could not assault Sita in Ashoka Vatika, because of this curse of Punjikasthali and Rambha. Because he had assaulted them against their will, so they had cursed. So therefore these apsaras also appear many times. Among these apsaras, Urvashi is considered the most famous. She is considered the most beautiful among all the apsaras in Indra's darbar, in his court. So, she was handed over as a gift by Narayan Rishi to Indra. And then, being very much ashamed of their actions and severely repenting for it, they begged forgiveness from Narayan Rishi and then departed for their abode. So, we see in this one example how the Lord is least affected by the attractions and allurements of this prakriti, of this material world. But rather, He is the one who creates these allurements for us. So His pleasure is only on the heavenly sphere. In fact, those great spiritual personalities who have attained the transcendental platform, they also are free from the allurements of material pleasure because they are absorbing their mind in the Supreme Lord. So how can the Supreme Lord Himself be allured by the material energy? When those who have absorbed their mind in Him and are experiencing such intense divine bliss, have nothing to do with the allurements of this world, how can the Lord Himself be subject to that? So therefore Lord Krishna says here, I have no need for anything that material Prakriti has to offer me. This is only what the jivas want. I am completely free from that. And as far as the jivas' fruitive actions are concerned, because the jivas want so many things, so Krishna supplies. But He doesn't want to enjoy like them. A jiva may want to enjoy sense gratification, but Krishna doesn't want to enjoy with them. Just like there may be a big factory or a big company, very wealthy person, and he may have many workers who are very ordinary people, very modest salaries, living very simply, and the workers have their own style of enjoyment. Many of them may go to the roadside country liquor bar and they may drink on the salary day and then lie on the road. It happens so many times. The workers in the factory, they will do like that. They will spend all their money in that bar and then lie in the road for many days. So that is their standard of happiness, of pleasure. But the proprietor of the factory, he doesn't enjoy that grade of happiness. Even if he wants to drink liquor, he will go to some five-star hotel, or he will sit in his home with some very exclusive class of people and drink some very exclusive class of liquor. So his standard of enjoyment is completely different. It's much higher. Of course, this is a material example. From a spiritual point of view, we understand that both are sinful. But nevertheless, just to give a simple idea of how the proprietor's standard of enjoyment is different from the worker's standard of enjoyment. Similarly, Krishna is the proprietor of everything, and we are all His servants. So the conditioned soul in this world, their standard and conception of enjoyment is very low. Sense gratification. We want the pleasures of this world, which are very insignificant, which are simply cause of distress, which are temporary. And Krishna doesn't enjoy this kind of bliss. And neither do Krishna's devotees. Ramante yogino anante satyanande chidatmani iti rama padenaso param brahma vidiyate. In the Padma Purana it is explained that the great yogis, ramante yogino anante satyanande chidatmani. Chidatmani. They enjoy, the yogis, the real transcendentalists, they enjoy higher spiritual happiness in the Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth. And this is Satyananda. It is real Ananda. This is Mithyananda of this world. But they enjoy Satyananda. And because this Satyananda is very large, it is unending. So therefore, the Supreme Absolute Truth is called Rama. Iti Rama Padenaso Param Brahma Vidiyate. The meaning of the word Ram is enjoy, or one who can give enjoyment to others, the highest spiritual enjoyment. Ramante yogina anante. So the yogis are those who enjoy the highest bliss that is afforded by the Supreme Lord, who is called Rama. So actually speaking, Lord Krishna is the original Ram. The word Ram here doesn't only mean Ayodhya Ram, Lord Ram of Ayodhya. The word Ram means one who awards this kind of highest spiritual bliss to his devotees. So in this way we understand that Lord Krishna and his devotees, their standard of happiness is very high. So therefore, what does Lord Krishna have to do with the pleasures of this world? Why should he seek any fruitive results here in this world? But for the jivas, he gives them the results of an action. But he is not responsible for it. Just like, without rains, you can't have any vegetation. But the rains are not responsible for the vegetation. Please try to see this point. It's very interesting. Can you have vegetation without rain? No. But everywhere it rains, will there be vegetation there? If it falls on a rock, will there be vegetation there? No. So the rain, without it, there can be no vegetation. But still the rain is not the cause of the vegetation. The cause of the vegetation is the quality of the recipient, of the soil that is receiving that rain. Similarly, without Krishna's sanction, the jiva cannot enjoy anything. The jiva cannot have sense gratification. But that doesn't mean that Krishna is the cause of his sense gratification. Krishna simply sanctions, he simply awards. Just like again coming to the example of the factory and the proprietor. The workers may be working for the proprietor. The proprietor pays salary to the workers. But the proprietor is not personally responsible for the misdeeds or the good deeds of the workers. They themselves are responsible. So, in the same way, even though Krishna awards the results of our actions, our salary, so to speak, he is not responsible for the sins and piety that we do. That we ourselves are responsible. In this way, Lord Krishna has explained here, Name karme phala spriha, that I do not seek the fruits of any actions, rather, I award the fruits of actions to everyone in this world in a neutral way. Something like a high court judge awards the results of different people's activities to them. He is neutral, aloof. In one moment, he is awarding death punishment to somebody. The very next case that comes, he awards a benefit of 10 lakh rupees to another person. And he tells his opponent that you must give him 10 lakh rupees in damages. So one hand he is awarding death penalty, another hand next minute he is awarding 10 lakhs gift to the man. So is the high court judge being partial? No. The high court judge is neutral. He is not responsible for the actions of those two people. He is simply neutrally seeing and giving the judgment. Similarly, Lord Krishna is like that. Neutral, aloof, transcendental to this system. And then thirdly, Lord Krishna explains here, Iti mam yo abhijanati karma bhir na sapadhyate. That's the third point in this verse Lord Krishna mentions. He says that one who knows this means what? He knows the first two things I mentioned. Number one, that there is no action that can bind Krishna. And number two, that Krishna never aspires for the fruits of his actions in this world. One who knows these two things, Lord Krishna says, he himself is freed from karma. He is freed from bondage himself. This is the beautiful part. In the ninth verse of this chapter also we have seen, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetti tattvataha tyaktva deham punarjanmanaiti mameti so Arjuna. Lord Krishna describes that one who knows the divine transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, they will never upon leaving this body have to take birth again, my dear Arjuna. Rather, they will attain to me. Mam eti. They will come back to me, to my abode, to live eternal life with me. So therefore, one who knows the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna, his activities, they will become free from bondage. If one wants to be free, this is the formula. Many, many people write books upon Krishna. Just 2 days ago, somebody showed me a very big, fat book somebody has written on Lord Krishna. And it's a whole thesis. And it's a very popular book, I believe. But as soon as you look at it, you understand that it is not a bona fide book. First and foremost, it is not coming in the parampara. This person is thinking only from his own study, his own scholarship, his own speculation. He has some thesis about Krishna. It may be coincidentally that some things he says are the same. But we cannot accept his words or his thesis as our guiding light. We cannot understand Krishna like that. Krishna can be understood as Krishna himself has described here. Evam parampara praptam imam rajashayo viduhu. Only by the parampara coming from Lord Krishna himself, we can understand. So one has to link oneself up with the parampara. Then one will understand Krishna. Otherwise, it is not possible. Krishna is the most misunderstood personality among all the avatars. Krishna is the most misunderstood because his activities are very mysterious. Lord Ram, yes, sometimes people will say a little bit here and there about Lord Ram, like why he listened to the voice of a dhobi and asked his wife to go, etc. But nothing very serious. But about Lord Krishna, there are some people, if you give them chance to speak, they will go on and on. Why he did like this, why he did like that. Yes, you must have also talked to such people. So very difficult to understand Lord Krishna unless one is linked to the proper parampara. Then and only then one can understand. And then further, in the 15th verse, Lord Krishna is explaining furthermore about how in the past great souls like this understood Lord Krishna in this way. So kindly repeat after me.
Evam jnatva kritam karma purvairapi mumukshubhihi kuru karmaiva tasmatvam purvahi purvataram kritam.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. Kindly repeat. All the liberated souls. There are two kinds of people in this world. One are those whose hearts are polluted with material desires, and there is the other class, which is very rare, of those whose hearts are clean because of their devotion to the Supreme Lord. Both must perform Krishna consciousness. The one whose heart is polluted, he must perform Krishna consciousness for the sake of purification, for the sake of advancement in spiritual life, for the sake of relief from distress, and so on. One who is already clean from within, he performs Krishna consciousness because that is his nature, it is his constitutional position, and he works in Krishna consciousness to set an example. So Lord Krishna in this verse is speaking about the second category of people. He is saying that in the past, many, many other people, purvair api mumukshubhihi, mumukshubhihi means those who are already liberated, purvair, in the past, they also performed kritam karma. They also performed so many activities. So you must also do that. Kuru karmaiva tasmatvam. You also work like that, Arjuna, with the same understanding that those people had. Like, for example, Vivaswan. So Krishna is wanting to tell Arjuna that, see, I explained to Vivaswan this philosophy of Gita many millions of years ago, and then he instructed to his son and so on. But he continued to act in a spirit of Krishna consciousness. Then there was the great king Janaka, and there are so many other examples, Arjuna. So you also should act in this way. But you should act with full knowledge of me, knowing the two points that he has mentioned in the earlier verse. In this way, the whole society can move along in a very nice way. So they set example for everyone to follow. So by coming to this verse, we have now finished a certain section of the chapter, in chapter 4, where Lord Krishna has discussed from 4.11 to 4.15 the application of this transcendental knowledge. From verse 1 to verse 10, Lord Krishna has discussed transcendental knowledge of himself, his birth, his activities, and so on. And from text 11 to 15, he has discussed the application of this knowledge and also discussed how he avoids the actions, the reactions to people's actions, but he himself is aloof. And from next time we will begin text 16. In this particular section of 9 verses from text 16 to 24, Lord Krishna will discuss another interesting concept, the concept of karma. Very, very intricate concept, very difficult to understand for the ordinary person. He is going to talk specifically in this section about how action or karma can become inaction or a karma. He will be discussing this. Then we will hear what are the different kinds of karmas or activities we can do, what kind of results accrue from these different kinds of actions, how can one be purified from material karma and come to the spiritual platform. Now all these things will be discussed in the next section. So we will stop here. Do you have any questions to ask or any comments to make? The question is that Lord Krishna says that I have created this system, but yet I am not the doer, I am not the creator. So the question is, why has Lord Krishna says Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam? Why has he not said Chaturvarnyam Prakriti Srishtam? Because he wants to emphasize, ultimately I am the doer. Because even though Prakriti is acting, it is according to my intelligence. It is my plan that the society should be divided into this way. Prakriti is simply facilitating it, is simply executing my order. But I am the real doer, in the sense that it is because of me that this thing has come. Therefore it says Maya Srishtam, that it is not some ordinary mundane thing, my dear Arjuna. It is a system that I want for this world. But at the same time he says Vidhi Akartaram Avyayam. At the same time I am not the doer, because even though it is because of my will that this whole system is set up, know that it is happening indirectly. My agent is doing it. I am not directly involved in the workings of this system. It is being done by somebody who is my agent, that is Prakriti. And I am not entangled in this Prakriti. I am not affected by this Prakriti. Because sometimes we become influenced by our own creation. May happen. We may be overwhelmed by our own creation. But Krishna wants to point out that this is not so with him. That even though it is my creation in the sense that it is my intelligence and my agent that is acting, still I am not affected by this. I am not concerned by this. I am not bounded by this. So that is why Lord Krishna says Maya Srishtam in the first and then says Akartaram. Is there any other question? Name karma phale spriha? Yes. Question is that the second line of the 14th verse, name karma phale spriha, what is the real meaning of that? It is the third point. Itimam yobhi janati. Yes. Itimam yobhi janati karma bhir nasabadhyate. That is the third point. If you remember from the lecture, I said there are three points. Correct? The first point. Yes, this is the third point. Itimam yo abhijanati. That such things about me, those who know abhijanati, for them what happens? Karma bhir na sa badhyate. Karma doesn't bind them. Because they know that no work affects me, I am not bound by the reactions of anything in this world, and number two, that I don't seek any material things in this world. I am in my own transcendental bliss, in my own position, full and complete in myself. So those who know this, Itimam abhijanati. Those who know this about me, karma bhir na sabadhyate. These people are also not bound just like me. Because they know me, they become like me. So that means those who don't know me, they will be bound. So why should we know Krishna? Anyone who wants to be free should know Krishna. Then he will become free. Questions? One is, what is the first question? Whether the soul desires or the mind desires. You see, after coming into this world, the soul has got trapped in the cycle of birth and death. The soul has fallen under illusion, and the soul is imagining itself to be the body, although it is not. So in this false spell of thinking itself to be the body, the soul acts through the mind. The mind is a reservoir of all kinds of desires. So although at a superficial level it is the mind that desires, but the mind is also part of this material body, because the soul is identifying itself with the body and mind. So it thinks and desires through the medium or the instrument of the mind. The mind continues after the gross body is destroyed. It is carried on to the next body. So spiritual life is a question of purifying the mind of all these wrong desires, so that the real desire of the soul will manifest. That is the process of Krishna consciousness. The second question is, who sanctions is responsible? It's like this. Suppose there is a father and he has a son who goes to college, and the son says, well, I want motorcycle for my college, and father is not happy. It is not his wish, but because now son is little bit grown up, he has to little bit sanction his will, because he has to keep him happy. That's his duty as a father, to supply the needs of the son. So he says, okay, you want this motorcycle, but one day you will have an accident, then you will understand yourself. Anyway, he gives. It's like that, reluctantly. It is not that Lord is approving of his action, but he permits. When there is a good desire, then Krishna is happy to sanction. When it is not a good desire, Krishna is not happy to sanction. But he sanctions it because he respects the free will that he himself has awarded to that jiva. And he doesn't want to interfere with that free will. If Krishna were not to sanction the bad activities of the individual entity, that means he would interfere with their free will, that he would allow them to do only good and not do any bad. So without proper use of free will, there can be no real love. A real love is a relation between the jiva and the Lord. So without giving him the freedom to perform bad activities, there can be no real love. So Krishna gives the freedom and then leaves it to the jiva to decide whether he wants to be away from Krishna or he wants to surrender to Krishna. That is the process. So we will stop here now. We will have darshan, and after that we will have prasadam.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.